Welcome to Ear Biscuits. I'm Link.
And I'm Rhett. This week, it's time for another conversation with someone interesting from the internet. And this week, that person that's going to be sitting right here at the round table of dim lighting is Vitaly Zdorovetsky, one of the most popular prank video producers on the YouTubes.
Now, as you probably know, prank videos are huge. I mean, they're not video game videos on YouTube, but they're, I mean...
Close second.
Probably a close second. So, I mean, there was a big fascination factor on our part, and Vitaly was, you know, is one of the biggest guys in this genre. So very excited to talk to him. What did we discuss? We discussed the details behind a couple of his most extreme pranks, the Miami zombie attack, and the one that got him arrested and jailed for 45 days.
And unexpectedly, we got into a controversial story that actually just surfaced at the end of 2013, and that was, it was discovered that he made an appearance in a porn video, and people found this out. Now, in doing our research and preparing for this conversation, we found this out. We thought he'd already kind of addressed it publicly, and we didn't know how relevant it was to his whole prank career and YouTube and that kind of thing.
Well, he had a quote in an article, and like he may have tweeted a couple of things. He certainly hadn't gone into detail, but
right.
We just didn't think we were going to go there. But as you'll hear, we're asking him about the first videos he made, and I think he
thought we were trying to get it out of him.
He misinterpreted us that we were trying to get it out of him. But, you know, ultimately, he was honest about it. We had the discussion. I think it gave him the grounds to be more honest and to go a little bit further about it and than he has to date. So you can expect that, and that I also take that as a warning. If you don't want to hear things discussed about the porn industry,
okay,
to check out now. But we also discussed him growing up and the culture shock of immigrating from the Ukraine in middle school, and lots of inner workings about a guy who creates the most shocking, over-the-top pranks on the internet for a living.
And of course, you know, we start talking to a guy who's done prank videos or is doing prank videos. That's his thing. It makes us think about some of the prank videos that we've done, including one of our first videos.
And we mentioned this to him as well.
Right.
It's one of the first videos we ever posted.
It was a video that existed before we actually had a YouTube channel. So when we got our YouTube channel, there were a series of videos that we just uploaded initially right when we started in 2006.
On July 24th, 2006, one of those videos is called Cutting Strangers' Nose Hairs at the Mall. And when we went, you know, we mentioned it in our conversation with Vitaly. And then when we go back, I felt sure that we had made this video private. Because it's so embarrassing.
There are many embarrassing points.
So you can watch this thing. It's on our main channel, Cutting Strangers' Nose Hairs at the Mall. And that's what we did. I mean, 4.5 minutes. It takes about 2.5 minutes to get into it. But it's so embarrassing because it's such an old video. But that was one of the things we were trying to do way back then, was kind of do the prank thing. I remember going to the mall and going to Sears and buying that nose hair trimmer. And saying, let's just see if we can put it up people's noses. And then you also bought, right next to it, they were selling a keyboard vacuum cleaner.
Right.
Like, it sucks dust out of vacuum. So then I said, okay, I'll cut their nose hairs, and then you can suck it out. No one will let us do this, but let's see what can happen.
We dressed up in suits, or at least blazers and khakis, and tried to look official. And we said, okay, let's go up to people and we're going to just try to actually demonstrate our hair removal system, which consisted of Link cutting the nose hairs and me vacuuming out of people's actual noses. Now, you can watch the video to see for yourself. It's. I mean, you know what? You don't even have to. I'm not, because this is not the kind of video that I'm going to recommend watching for entertainment, other than just the fact that we're referencing it and it's a part of our past. And it is pertinent to this conversation. That's the only reason that I'm going to suggest that you watch it, because it's a bad video. That's why it's got 26,000 views as opposed to 26 million views, like the guy we're talking to today. But
our pants were really big,
too. Not only am I embarrassed by the haircut that I had, the chin strap that I was sporting, the pants, we look like clowns.
Like literally.
Well, it's funny.
Clown pants.
Because at that time.
That was the fashion.
There were two. There were two things that were kind of in. And we, well, first of all, we shot the video in like 05, maybe 04.
Yeah, potentially.
And so at the time, baggy pants were the thing that we were wearing.
Especially for prank videos.
And did you notice? We looked like clowns, not only because of the baggy pants, but because of the shoes. They had like, they were like dress shoes with really big soles.
Big
like
shoes.
Like really big shoes, like clown shoes. We, the bottom half of our bodies look like clowns. And that doesn't make it, doesn't make it any funnier.
Top half wasn't far behind.
But there was this element that I think is
and our accents are very,
very southern. There's something that we get into with Vitaly, and that is this thing, you have to psych yourself up. You have to go into the zone, get into a zone in order to approach people and ask them to do something that makes them feel uncomfortable. Because as we established in our conversation with him, I do not like making people feel uncomfortable. You actually, my perception is you enjoy making people feel uncomfortable. Because a big part of your humor a lot of times when you're like in a group or like at a party or something like this, I'm going to say something and it's going to make this person or everyone feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And do you like it? Like, what is your goal? Because it seems like you're like, okay, I did what I was trying to do and now everybody feels uncomfortable. And I shudder at that. I can't stand it.
I think now that I've succeeded at getting a lot of attention and like actually being an entertainer, I don't have as much of that itch as I had like way back then to, totally sacrifice my, you know, my own pride of being, of looking like an idiot to make someone else look like an idiot and get a laugh.
But I don't even think I don't think it's taking advantage of people. You may have done that a little bit in high school. I'm not talking about making fun of somebody.
Right.
I'm talking about doing something.
I would be very nervous. I would not want to, or would never get excited about trimming someone's nose hairs or doing anything close to what Vitaly does today. But I still have this, I still have a little bit of it, like at a party or in a group when I'll be like, okay, this is not going to be funny to anybody but me, but for some reason I'm going to say it anyway because I don't, maybe something will happen. And it just if it makes people feel weird, it's not, I'm not doing it to make them feel weird because I don't think that's funny. I don't know exactly why I do it. I think it's just sometimes it's just like
you need to see a therapist about
this. If this isn't funny, that will also be funny to me.
That's an interesting comedic strategy. If this is not funny, well, that'll be funny to me.
So it's like a win-win. There's no, I can't lose. And people may feel a little weird, but it'll be funny to me.
I think one of the things that makes people feel, that makes people want to watch these videos that Vitaly does is there is a, I would never do that. I could never do that quality to mm-hmm. them. And to see somebody actually do it, to have the balls to actually make some of these things happen and then to get the authentic reactions from people, people are kind of addicted to that process. And I know that it makes me feel uncomfortable when I watch them, but that also, but it also makes you want to keep seeing the reactions, you know?
That's the key to it.
Because whenever we conceptualize a video, and we don't do this very often, where it's going to involve us trying to get this reaction out of somebody, our most recent one being the invisible dog prank, I just get anxious about it. I'm anxious about it for days until we actually do it. And then as soon as we do it, I'm so glad we got done with that video. I mean, I could never have a prank channel. I mean, I wouldn't sleep.
But I couldn't either.
You're saying you couldn't?
I could not now. I might could have way back in the day when I wasn't having the attention. So now that I have it, I can do it in ways I'm much more comfortable getting it.
Well, in one sense, it's unfortunate that we are not willing to do a prank channel because apparently you can amass over 5 million subscribers doing it and get close to 500 million, that's a billion with a B, views. This is really working for him.
In less than 3 years, that's what Vitaly has done. His pranks have been featured on Tosh.0 and all other types of TV outlets because, you know, they're hungry for this type of stuff. He's collaborated with some of the most esteemed pranksters, including Jackass's Steve-O, and now he has sat down and been ear-biscuited.
Yeah, he has been.
So here you go. Here it is. banana chips?
No, but it's funny that you said that, because I was actually get a banana and eat it in the middle of a podcast, but that was going to be rude.
No, that wouldn't be rude at all.
You would hear that.
That would be weird.
People always say they love natural mouth sounds on this show. The more that you can make, the more the better.
He's being facetious. Right. I'm actually pretty self-conscious of my mouth sounds. Like on our show that we shoot over there, Good Mythical Morning, we eat a lot of stuff, and when I watch it back, I hear my mouth sounds and feel like I should apologize.
He's a very loud chewer. You think you're a loud chewer, normal chewer, silent chewer?
I'm a silent chewer when it's with my friends, but when it's with girls, I'm doing loud to get their attention.
You think the girls like a loud chewer?
Yep.
It's like, well, if I can hear him eat food, that must mean he's a caring person. I'm trying to draw some sort of a connection.
I don't know. The...
Maybe like eat like an animal, maybe not chew.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going with that.
You want to attract a certain kind of woman.
There was actually a funny story about that. You want to hear it?
Yeah, of course.
All right, so this is best restaurant next to my house, Jack and Jill. I took him for the first time, John, my manager. But so I went there and I ordered half a chicken, right? I'm eating this half a chicken outside, and there's a glass to go, you know, just so you can see inside.
Right.
So there's two hot girls just eating. I'm like, oh, please don't watch me. I'm like, every time I look, they don't see me, and I just keep eating that chicken like nasty. I'm like killing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then my friend walks into Jack and Jill, and he knows those girls, so he starts talking to them, and then he waves me over, and then I'm like, okay, what now? And I thought the girls mind their own business. They actually were watching me the whole time eating that chicken. They're like, wow, we loved the way you were eating that. That blew me off. I was like, oh, really?
How do you respond to that?
I got her number.
She said,
I still didn't get to her, but yeah.
We love the way you eat the chicken.
She actually said that? Yep. I was actually worrying for her not to see me. Like, I was taking a bite, I'm looking over. Nobody's looking. Wow. I was like, thanks God. And then they said they were watching the whole thing.
What part of town are we talking about?
Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Probably a gold digger.
And these women were like in their late 50s or?
Nah, they were actually pretty young, 20.
Well, that's
21.
That's what the late 50s women look like in Beverly Hills.
Oh, you're right about that.
Yeah.
All right.
You got to take that into account.
Next time I'm going to check the ID.
Now, I want to talk about the getting the number prank, which you kind of mentioned here, but I want to wait to get to that.
I
just can't wait to get right to the zombie prank, okay? That's the one.
Oh, really?
That's
old. I already forgot about that.
Right off the bat, I mean, I have to go back and talk about that one.
Let's do it.
That's the one that basically blew up for you. That was the first huge one, right?
Yeah, I think if that video didn't happen, I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
So what's the backstory on that one?
What's the backstory? I was doing videos, YouTube videos, and I had like 10,000 subscribers at a time. And then I went out to do the zombie prank. And
that was, this is right after like the bath salts.
Yeah. If you want, the bath salt story, the homeless person ate another homeless person's face. So everybody's tweeting, zombies are coming.
In Miami.
In Miami, yeah. Bath salts, blah, blah, blah. It's spreading. And
You were also in Miami?
Yeah. I used to live in Boca, which is 40 minutes from Miami.
Okay.
So I dressed
up. There's this fear going around of people. There's this fear of bath salts, crazy zombies. I'm going to tap
into that. Facebook statuses, Twitter statuses, all about, zombies in Miami. We're scared. And it happened like 2 days after. I dressed up as a zombie, and I had no problem scaring people. I think I was like the king. I could clear the whole city.
This is 2 days after the news story breaks.
Yeah.
I gotta jump on this.
Yes.
So you weren't making prank videos before that.
No, I was.
Okay, you were.
Yeah, I was, but they weren't getting hits. There were like a couple thousand views.
Okay.
Yep.
So you go out and, you know,
First I started actually screaming out of the car, like driving by people and having blood on my face and like popping out and... By driving, driving through, yeah.
Yeah, in the car.
Yeah, pretty much. Drive-through zombie prank.
Right.
Kind of, yeah. But not actually the drive-through.
And how are people responding?
Yeah. No reactions. I'm like, what am I doing? Why don't I actually just put ripped clothing and actually go out there? So I go home and I found a tie. I put it over my head because I thought it would look cool.
That was a nice touch. That's my favorite part.
Yeah. And then no shoes, bare feet. Dress pants, dress shirt, and I went out and put blood all over it, and it worked every time I went out. Yeah, barely any behind the scenes on it. There is, but
Meaning most of what happened made its way into the video. It wasn't like you had to shoot all day.
No, no. It was like two days. I shot it 2 days, 3 hours each day, 6 hours. Yeah, it was easy. You just come out of the car and they just run.
Bingo.
And then you just kind of chase them with a limp.
Pretty much. And then...
And the noises.
Yes, the noises, the growling. And then I tried to tell them it's a prank, but they just kept running.
Well, it's interesting.
Well, some of the reactions.
There was kind of a discovery to it that you tried it one way. It didn't. Okay, I'm in the car. This isn't working. Yeah. Why don't I just get out? And then that started to work.
Yes.
Well, I mean, when you're, I guess for that prank in particular, were you scared of, okay, I think the thing that Rhett and I said were, you could be shot. You know, I mean,
I didn't think about that. When I do my videos, I just get into character. I kind of forgot that guns even exist at that point. And I'm being serious. Like, I was just in my zone. I was like, this is so much fun.
So you're,
I was even thinking getting shot and stuff like that.
I mean, whenever in the way distant past, we would kind of flirt with kind of prank videos or just man on the street type of videos. I know in my mind, it would be one of the first videos we made was trimming strangers' nose hairs.
Oh, yeah.
We had a nose hair trimmer. Mm-hmm. This is like 2006. It might have been 2005. This was before YouTube.
Long time ago.
Oh, so it's not on YouTube.
It is on YouTube.
No, I think it is uploaded to YouTube.
And it's,
I was going to take the idea and say it was original.
No, you can listen. You can have the idea. You can take it.
It wasn't great.
Well, you can take it and do it well.
It's nowhere near, you know, the caliber of what you're pulling off. But I remember very quickly being able to just get over this fear. Because I was thinking about an audience.
Yes.
So,
and I know, for the comments.
Rhett, for you, you don't have as much of that, the switch that just turns off and I'm just going to trim people's nose hairs or I'm just going
to. Yeah, I have. There's a lot for me to personally overcome when I don't like making people feel uncomfortable in real life. Mm-hmm. So when we do a video where that's the point, we don't do a lot that are like that. There's like this. I got to like psych myself up. Like it's going back to my basketball days where I'm in the locker room right before the game and I've got to psych myself into, you know, I got to pump myself up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have the same approach?
Oh, my approach is hilarious. I have to walk around 45 minutes before I do anything.
And what's going through your mind? So you have a pregame ritual.
I'm just thinking like my camera guy gets pissed at me because he just follows me. I'm just like, I'm about to go. And he's pushing me. I was like, no, I'm about to go. And I'm like, this way. Back that way, this way, like, back and forth, and I was like, "All right, I'm ready." And so once I do one, it's on.
So it's kind of like jumping off a cliff, like into a body of water.
Yeah, if you say so.
you've never tried that?
Mm-mm.
Well, it is like that.
That wouldn't be much of a prank, though.
I mean, I do lots of pacing before I jump off cliffs into bodies of water.
Yeah,
at least back in my high school days at the reservoir.
But you're saying once you get going, I mean, you pace, you're nervous, and then once you get going, you're in character and you don't have to.
Yeah.
You're another person at that point. You are the person. You are the zombie with a.
Pretty much, yeah.
With a tie around your head.
Yes.
But are you, like, I mean, this neighborhood that you were in, was this your neighborhood? Or
no, it was Martin Luther King, actually speaking. That was what? Yeah. It's a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I kind of already forgot.
The holiday. The
15th, January 15th.
But the...
Yeah, the holiday. I'm just saying. So I'm just bringing it up. Yeah, sorry.
But you picked a certain neighborhood to...
The hood.
You picked the hood.
The hood, because black people give the best reactions. And it's nothing, I don't know if it came off racist for some viewers or not, but no, not at all. I love black people. That's what I said in the news. I love black people. They give the best reactions. They express themselves, which I like. White people just like,
Yep.
Get away. Black people, you want a reaction, you get a full one.
Now, but then you were deciding, okay, there's a bunch of basketball players.
Yeah.
I am going to approach them as this zombie.
Yes.
And at that point, the first time you do that, what are you thinking? I mean...
I was thinking, great, I'm going to have 12, 15 people running at the same time instead of two or one.
Running towards me? You weren't afraid of that?
I wasn't, no. I knew they're going to run away. I told you, I felt so confident once I did like three reactions that everybody kept running. So I didn't have any doubts. I'm like, this is going to happen. My friend's like, nah, they're adults. And they were like over like 20 probably. And they ran.
I mean, there were guys climbing the fence.
Oh, for the last reaction, yes. I didn't see that until I started editing. That was hilarious.
You didn't see the guy who was on like the 20-foot fence?
Well, after I edited. Yeah, after I started editing.
Yeah, you were kind of down in a crouching position.
Yeah. And one of the guy backfired me, right? The end of the video.
Right. Yeah, so what happened there? There was like a cliffhanger. The guy's running after you.
They ran
and
away.
And then you cut. I'm like, no.
Oh, because the video probably wouldn't go viral if I didn't cut it. It was just, I told them it's a prank and they actually stopped and they offered me crack.
Really?
Yeah, they offered me crack. They're like, you party, you want some hard? And hard is crack on the street. So, yeah.
What'd you say?
I said, nah, man, I don't party. I don't party like that. Bro.
Don't party like that.
I've got to go see our people on the other side of the block or something.
Yeah,
right?
I was like, is that cool if we use this for a YouTube video? Yeah. You sure you don't party? And I was like, nah.
So, the guy looks like they did turn on you. They started chasing you.
Yeah.
And you and cut at that moment. That yeah, it seems like you're about to get pounded.
Yeah, and well, he swung on me. I heard, like, I felt the air. And then I turned around. He's about to swing at me again. I was like, no, it's a prank.
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, cool, you want some crack?
Right, yeah, like, just like that. You party. You want some crack? You want some rock?
He's like, oh, you're cool.
What you want? Which one? I was like, no, I'm cool, yeah.
Wow, that seems like that would not be a typical reaction. It seems like sometimes you might say it's a prank, and then that's when they get mad.
Yeah, sometimes because they hate to be on camera, like embarrassed, I guess.
Right.
So yeah. What's the worst thing that's ever happened?
A Russian hitman, 60 seconds prank. I put a suitcase next to some guy and I told him, in a Russian hitman outfit, that's my character. Fully suited, John's favorite character. And then hair slicked back, Russian accent. And I go up to people and go, your life, your choice. You have 60 seconds. And I dropped a suitcase. And I run, so they run, but really they don't know the prank is there's money inside the suitcase. So $300 in singles and laid out like it's a drug deal, whatever people think. But yeah, and I had this one guy went off of me really bad, and he was black. He was huge, and yeah, he went Samuel Jackson on me. He just sounded just like him. He started trying to beat me up.
Now, this
camera
is in the video too, right?
Yeah, it's on the video. It's online.
The sound kind of goes away. And
there was, for that particular video, there was no sound. So that's what I'm going with the story. There was no sound. So after we fought with the guy, I didn't really fight him, but he tried to fight. He's like, I'm going to call the cops, blah, blah, blah. So somebody called the cops because they see him trying to beat us up. So the cops came and they arrested us for a hoax bomb charge. And then I told them, I tried to fight it and said, I didn't say hoax bomb, but there was no sound in the video and I couldn't prove it. So I had to wait a year till I get off probation. I got charged. And
got arrested and charged.
Yeah, arrested. Yeah, I spent 45 days in jail.
So what?
But the charges got dropped because I completed everything, like it said.
So what kind of opportunity for pranks are there with 45 days in jail?
What do you mean?
Like, are you in prank mode in jail? Or are you I wasn't prank mode. Sucks.
No, I actually thought I was thinking a lot in jail, and I came out with some great videos. After I came out of jail, I started hitting a million views per video because I just came up with so many ideas that it worked.
You're literally in jail writing down ideas for your next prank videos?
I don't write them down. I just remember them in my head. That's how I do all my videos. A lot of people write them down. I just know.
Was there that what are you in for a moment? And you were like, YouTube prank.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. And everybody knew me in jail because they see me on the news getting arrested.
Really?
Yeah, so that's a funny story because they liked that, I guess, yeah.
They respected you?
Respected me, yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah, you were like, I'm going to make this my own little workshop here in prison for these 45 days and I'm going to come out and dominate YouTube.
Pretty much, yeah. I thought, yeah, I had 120,000 subscribers at a time, so I was worrying and stuff like that, but then everything was great.
You were in prison, or not in prison, you were in jail worried about your YouTube momentum.
This is what happened. I went to jail for 10 days, I got out on bail, and then I violated my probation, so I was already on probation for something else, and then I can fake ID when I was 18, but it was in Key West, so I had a warrant in Key West, so I had to fly to jail. So I flew to jail right when I got off the plane, I went and turned myself in, but it was an experience, you know, I guess. Now I'm better
right at
what I do, more careful.
And you also put footage of yourself in court in the video that's posted now, right?
Oh, yeah, that was a great transition. Everybody loved it. That was, yeah.
Yeah,
it was like a movie. You were watching a movie pretty much.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
it was news footage of you in court.
In court, and then it's transitioned to another, how the anchors were explaining about the prank for like maybe 5 seconds, and then it transitioned like 1 year later after I was on probation. So I finished the last, I did the last clip for the ending to like tell the story kind of in right. the prank mode in the character, and it came out great.
Right. I mean, it makes a better story.
Yeah,
which makes a better YouTube video.
You walk yeah. right past the two sheriff cars.
Oh, yeah. That was incredible.
And then you go up to
a homeless guy.
Homeless
yeah.
dude.
Yeah, I decided to do homeless guy because everybody kept running for 60 seconds. So I switched the story up. I was like in Russian. So you telling me I wasn't supposed to tell the 60 seconds the whole time. Blah, 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 blah. I sat in jail because of you. And he's like, no, just give it to him the money. Then I opened the case. And then I opened the suitcase and just gave it the money to end the video.
Were you worried about potentially being caught just doing that second part of the prank?
Nah, I slapped to the face. I wasn't scared at all. I had a good lawyer, a very good lawyer. I came across a very good lawyer.
You were like, as long as I don't say 60 seconds.
Yeah, I'm good. And the mic is on this time.
Right, and I can yeah. prove it. There's, yes. there's no bomb here. It's yes. just money. And that, and you, and then that was a homeless guy.
He was a homeless guy, yes.
And he got 300 singles.
$300, yes. Wasn't bad.
Yeah, he was pretty happy.
Yep, he says, I'm leaving. He was on the side of the road. He's like, I'm done for today.
Right, right yeah. yeah. That's a pretty good couple of minutes for him.
Wow. I mean, and at that point, after that video came out, over the next year is when you gained 4 million subscribers over the course of a year.
Yeah.
I think, give
yes,
or take.
Yes, yes. Last January, I had a million subscribers last May, so less than a year, I guess.
Wow.
I had a million subscribers like May 20th of 2013. So it's been what? I mean, 8 months.
And now you're over
5.2.
Yeah, you're over 5 million.
So, I mean, there's lots of other people pulling pranks. I want to talk about that more later. But
yeah.
is the advice that you give to people who want to pull pranks, if you really want to take off quick, you should probably get arrested for a prank and then it's really going to blow up.
Well, like Snoop Dogg said in an interview with him, he says, if you didn't get arrested, you ain't doing it right.
Like the prank, or was he referring to something
yeah,
else?
Yeah, no, just in general for everybody. Whatever you do, if you're not arrested for what you do, you're not doing it right.
That's his life philosophy.
Yeah.
I and guess that's what he said in the interview. Yeah.
Sometimes it works.
But I'm not also a bad guy. Speaking of the extreme, the homeless guy, I did extreme homeless makeover. You seen that?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, I got the homeless guy new teeth and then took him shopping and all that. So
right.
the and viewers think I'm such an ass, probably. That's my character.
But, right. So yeah. that's kind of what you, that's what you said in the description of that video.
Oh, look at you. You know everything. I like it.
Right. So that you're making all these videos where you're kind yeah. of taking advantage of people, getting their reaction, so everybody yeah. thinks you're a jerk. Okay, so you were like, that's not who I am. Let me show you who I am. I'm going
yeah,
to actually...
Yeah, but it was a douchey kind of, I feel like, even the description too is like, let me show you who I am. No, it's just like, I wanted to do a homeless video always because I saw this little pranksters doing like, giving out pizza and like pocket change and like, let me do something creative. And I just came up with the Extreme Homeless Makeover.
So explain what happened in
that. Extreme Homeless Makeover. I go out, found a homeless guy named Martin. He was standing on the side of the road, and he said he was really hungry. So I took him to first to get new clothes, got him a hotel for 2 days, haircut, and then we went to a steakhouse. He ate a lot. And then his biggest dream was to get his teeth fixed. So we raised money on Indiegogo, $12,000, and my goal was $2,500. And Indiegogo did not want to give me the money because I had a criminal with the hoax bomb thing.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So they, and because he had criminal in the past, so they didn't want to give us the money. So I made it as public status that I have to return all the money. All the people thought I stole the money and stuff like that, but they knew it after it returned. And I had doctors contact me and say they want to fix his teeth for free.
So you raised all the money. Indiegogo made you give it back to the people, or they never actually took it from the people. They never accepted the money.
Well, they never expect. On the site, it says the deadline. Yeah, it was like $12,000. And then I just get an email. All the money was refunded to.
Right.
Yeah, so I didn't ever have it in my bank account or anything
pledged.
Like that. Yeah.
It was pledged, but then they didn't actually make
yeah.
any withdrawals.
I made a big deal. Yeah, and then CEO wanted to call me and talk to me and apologize. I was like, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you speak. Nothing. I was so pissed.
But then a doctor right. did the work. A
doctor did the work for free, yes. For some credit, I guess, yes.
And this guy, the...
Oh, yeah, so it happened...
Martin, you said?
Yeah, Martin. So we did the video, and then 2 months late, well, I found out that his teeth is going to get fixed. And so I go tell him that the story, and I had to move to LA. I was moving to LA because I was living in Boca Raton.
Uh-huh.
So I tell him I'm going to be in LA. I'm going to fly down when the doctor is ready. So I fly back down, And yeah, they took his teeth out. No, they took his, sorry. They took his teeth out before I flew to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And then while I was in Los Angeles, they said his teeth, he's wanted, you know, healed his mouth, his gums. We're ready to put the teeth in. So he, I went to get the dentures, the filmed and stuff like that. Yeah.
Very cool.
So basically, I mean, that was kind of your reaction to, that was your way of saying, okay, I'm not that bad of a guy. That's my,
that's not a character, really.
But this is more the real me.
Yeah, but not,
I actually can be nice.
I just wanted to make his day, I guess I would say. I'm actually not nice. No, just at the videos, I'm always come off as like a douchebag and stuff. But in real life, I always, you know, help the homeless people, always pass by and give money, I guess. A couple dollars here and there.
Right.
So when I really do feel bad, when I know they're not, yeah, when I've, you know.
It was like, why not? I mean, this is something you wanted to do. Why not do
Yeah, and I did just did part one. I didn't expect it to. I was like, I'm not going to fix his teeth. There's no way it's going to, I can make it possible. And I just took 2 months, kind of just focused on this video, and I just made it happen. Hmm. So.
Well, let's go back to, just to learn more about your background.
Yeah.
Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Russia and raised in Ukraine at Odessa Mama.
Okay.
City of Mama.
What's it like, having never been there?
I guess third world country, I would say. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, homeless people. speaking of homeless people, yeah, a lot of poor people, I guess. And not a lot of people have the technology that USA have.
Right. And was that your case with your family?
Yeah, I was born... I was raised with a single mom, and my dad was working here, so it was pretty tough for us. Dad would help us out a little bit, but...
What'd your mom do?
What did my mom do? She was some secretary for a company. I forgot. I was like 11 years old. I didn't really care. I was living in one bedroom, and it was like literally one bedroom. You walk in, and there's no like the living room is the bedroom. So we had two beds. Me and my mom slept. It was pretty poor, you know, growing up poor in a poor family. And then my stepdad got an opportunity to bring us here because he got settled. He said everything's working out okay.
And so how did he start working in the U.S.? How did that?
He started working in the U.S. by moving here and trying to do something. And then he started as a pizza delivery guy. And he worked his way up to, by now, obviously, it was, I don't know when he moved, what year, but he's a programmer now. So, yeah. Hmm. But, and he was reading the books for dummies. That's how he got his degree. He didn't even go to college.
Really?
He learned his programmer job for books for dummies.
Well, that's a good endorsement for that series.
Yeah, pretty that's
good
all he books. Did. He read that and then he went in an interview.
I mean, if you can be, you know, if you have the humility to say, I'm going to read a book that says it's for dummies, then I'm told it's really good.
Well, he was, you know, he's a smart guy, but he just read the books. He was
ironically, dummies don't actually read it because they're dummies.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's a good point, actually. But yeah, so off the books, then he went and proved it that he can do it.
So what kind of kid were you? What were you into?
Bad kid.
You were a bad kid?
Well, in Ukraine. We're talking about Ukraine. Yeah. Pretty bad kid, I guess. Always into getting fights, you know. Always grew up on the street pretty much, you know. Just running around with my friends, causing
trouble. Did
you
have any brothers and sisters, or was it just
you?
No,
I'm the only child.
Okay, only child. Well, I mean, what kind of fights? I mean, how rough does
a street fight get in Ukraine? School fights.
We're talking like switchblades?
No. I was 12 years old. You know, silly fights in school. Always was like center of attention.
What was your signature move? Did you body shot? Punch people in the face? Or?
No, I pulled their hair.
Really?
Just kidding. Nah. Face shot. Just a face shot.
Really? You know, it's funny because
12 years
old,
I got
into a couple of fights.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it was related to Link.
What?
You remember the time John Carson was getting on you?
Well, yeah, I know that. I know that one time.
No, and then there was a John Ensor situation that was related to you, too.
Oh, John Carson was picking on me and Rep punched him in the probably third grade.
I don't know what it was. I always went for the body shot.
Oh, you guys go back then?
Yeah, since we were five, 6 years old. But I would go for the body shot, which is unusual because I've got a good reach and I've got the height.
Yeah.
But I think I was just worried about my hands. But you knew how to hold your fist.
I guess you'd say so, yeah. Because I always did like boxer and karate when I was growing up with my best friend.
So you were like trained.
I was like, pretty much.
Were you developing the skill to not care if you were going to piss people off from a young age? Is that something that you can see, that you can trace back? That I don't care if I piss you off.
I was Yeah, pretty much.
If it's funny, I'm going to do it.
Well, depends.
Was it that kind of thing?
No, not when, no. I think I just started doing that for YouTube. I'm not going to lie. No, I never had really thought about that, no, before YouTube. I was never really pissing people off. I was just funny, I guess. Okay. Class clown. That's what they called me, but that's about it.
So more of the innocuous pranks, like some innocent pranks. But you might have punched some people in the face. So there's a little bit of both, but they were never together.
Nah, because people started to fight first. So I fought. But in America, it's not the same. But then I came to America.
What age was that?
I was 2004, so I was 12 years old.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow, and I mean, that's a formative age to make such a big move. What was that like?
And this is moving to Florida.
Was moving to Florida with no English at all, new dog and cat. I moved to Florida and I went to Carver Middle School, and I was the only white kid in class. Everyone was black because of ESL, because there's a lot of Haitians in Florida. So they couldn't speak English neither. So I was just there. I didn't have no friends, and I got in a couple fights with them, but then I learned the American school system where you get suspended and you get in trouble by your parents. So I had to stop doing that.
How did you overcome that barrier? I mean,
my dad used to lock me in the room and says, you have to come out when you learn all those words. And it was literally like that. I had to knock and be like, I'm ready.
Did he like give you English for Dummies?
Yeah. No, he did not. I would write a word in Russian and next to it in English, the ones I need to use in school mostly. So, and that's how I did it. And then it just kind of went on.
So, I mean, so how do you come in, and not only are you the only white kid, but you're a Russian kid who's trying to learn English. I mean, how was that first year?
It was horrible. It was not crying. It was like, I was crying at home when I was home. Like, that was because I had no friends. I missed all my friends in Ukraine, Odessa. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm never going to learn English. I was freaking out.
And then what changed? Or did it not? Was the rest of school?
No, seventh grade was kind of bad. But I went to eighth grade. Then I switched schools to eighth grade. Don Estridge Middle School. And then I took computer class. And it was kind of better because I could play games on the computer.
Right.
But yeah, I started learning English more and started communicating with more people, had some friends. And then, yeah, by the time I got to high school, I got better. By the time I graduated, it's good.
So when did video making enter the equation?
2011.
Okay.
So yeah, I did videos for like 6 months. So I didn't take it seriously because I was doing Man Physique. Like, I wanted to be a natural bodybuilder.
Oh, really?
So yeah, I had like 6% body fat. I was like eating, like measuring my calories
and
stuff.
You were out of high school at the time?
Yeah. I graduated in 2010. So yeah.
Okay.
And I told myself I'm never going to college. I'm going to make it without college. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And then,
So your plan A was the gym, to be a bodybuilder.
First, yeah. Well, that was a hobby. That wasn't my goal in life. Okay. Like, I'm like, I don't need to go to school so I can become a bodybuilder. No, sure. Just did it. Just started working out. I saw great results. I'm like, let me be one of those guys in the magazine cover holding a protein shake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how it started. And then my YouTube took off, and that's when I stopped. I started reading the comments.
But what was your first video? I mean, you're saying, okay, I'm lifting weights. I'm getting swole? Is that what you say?
Yeah, swole, I guess. That's what you say.
Yeah.
What you said, though? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No. Did I say swole back in the day? I definitely said, do you even lift? No, I haven't. I didn't even thought of that back then yet. But yeah, swole, looking at myself, flexing.
So what was the first video you made? And were you alone? Did you have friends? You know, you had a camera. Were you editing?
Skateboarding videos. And maybe the Bang Bros. Is that what you're trying to make me tell you?
No.
Yeah, but bangbros.com.
I think I know what he's talking about.
What?
Yeah.
Let's not let the viewers know.
You want to talk about that?
A dirty film. I don't know. Your viewers can know.
A porn film.
I guess. Yeah, you would say so.
Okay.
That was your first video? That's your first internet video?
Yeah, rated R. Not my first. I did skateboarding videos, but then my friend dragged me along on this ride. It was crazy. I was 18 and dumb. But yeah. I went to Bang Bus, and then I had to get a job from the porn star while this random guy that I didn't know was supposed to penetrate her. And then, I had to,
go with it.
All right, fine. I did the money shot on her face, and then I got paid. Yeah. I wasn't supposed to. All the people know that I did that because obviously I'm big now. So people found that and they're like, oh, you couldn't get hard. You did, couldn't this. But they didn't know that, you know, it was all scripted. But whatever. Everybody knows porn is scripted because it's a bang bus like supposed to pick you up on the side of the street and stuff.
Like
and
a series.
Pretty much.
It's kind of like Cash Cab, but the money shot's a little different.
Usually they do it differently. Usually they have a porn star guy picking up random girls, supposedly random girls. But this time it's like it was a porn star takeover. It's supposed to pick up amateur guys.
Oh, you were playing the guy on the street.
Yeah,
so your friend got you
in. The boy next door.
Oh, I guess I see the connection.
Yeah,
so
I wasn't where I was working.
You're a bodybuilder. You got a friend. You know, you got...
No, that was before I started working out.
Oh.
Yeah, I used to skate big time. Then, it happened, I guess. I turned 18. I'm like,
why not try porn? I'm an adult now.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened. I'm not saying I regret it. It's whatever happened in the past. I got to look for my future now, but it's like, it's whatever.
Right. But now it's out there. It's the thing that you were like, okay, sure, I'm going to do this. Nice paycheck to get to do something I enjoy. And then all of a sudden you become this YouTube star. You know that people on the internet are going to find it. Do you remember the day when you were like, uh-oh, people are finding this. How am I going to spin this?
Whenever I uploaded Disturbing the Peace Part 10, that's the day. So yeah, I don't know what day was that.
And how did you find out that it had been discovered?
It went viral in the comment section. that was great. I was like, oh, but then I was like, whatever, I got over it. After a month, I was like, whatever.
Well,
it's 2014. It's not 92 back in the day when you made a porno and then you become a celebrity. And it's like 2014, you know, like.
Well, it's also, I mean, I think you think about what your videos and what you're known for.
Yeah.
It's not like you're making children's, you know.
I'm not working for Nickelodeon or something. Yeah, exactly. My content is very vulgar. And so now I'm known as a comedian, I guess, on YouTube.
So you've just embraced it.
And people looked at it as a sex tape, yeah.
I mean, we weren't even going to ask you about that.
No, it's fine. That's
but you brought it up.
Well, because I'm not, I'm not going to hide it. Why should I? I'm an open person. I can talk about whatever.
So that was kind of a one and done kind of a thing for you?
Pretty much, yeah. I did some extra shots. Kind of was in the business.
Okay.
They haven't found the other videos yet.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was just filming.
I was filming partially, and then I got the opportunity, and then I was an extra in some parties, and it was, I got a little wild, but then it was dirty business. It kind of, like, a lot of people are doing drugs and stuff, and I'm not, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? So I was like, let me do the YouTube thing, because I'm actually funny.
And it was... So the YouTube videos were kind of happening in parallel with kind of flirting with the porn world kind of a thing?
I think so. I don't know. Let me think. No. I was right before my very first video. Okay. Or maybe I think I did it and then maybe like I had two videos uploaded, but it wasn't much.
And those were skate videos?
I think it was two pranks. I'm not sure. I can't tell you exact. No, I remember. No, I haven't done any pranks. Skate videos, yeah.
Okay, so you weren't thinking at the time, you knew you were a funny guy, you were a class clown, so did you, when you thought about YouTube, what was the strategy there? Were you like, okay, I'm going to be a YouTube star?
I just started doing it for fun. I didn't even know you can get paid on YouTube.
Right, you were just like, you could skateboard.
Yeah, I can skateboard, and then I was like, let me try something new. Let me try to like prank people, I guess.
And were there other successful pranksters out there before you did that? So you were like, okay, I see this works. I could do that. I'm not afraid.
Yeah,
to
no,
do
I mean, I saw
like
a lot
that.
Of YouTube videos. I'm like, why do these people get like millions of views? Not on pranks, just vlogs and like other stuff. I'm like, what is this? Like, why can I get this many views? Damn. Mm-hmm. And I just started doing it. I got like 1,000 views. I was really happy.
What was the first one?
Disturbing the Peace Part 1. It's just I'm running around trying to kiss guys. Like, not literally, like on the cheek, you know, like in funny way, let me kiss you. Like, just being silly around the street, see how it would go. And I think I got like 1,000 views. I'm like, wow, 1,000 people seen this video. So I kept doing it. The views grew monthly, I guess. Yeah. Started getting like 10,000 views a video. Well, when I start picking up girls, How to Pick Up Girls Part 1. I did two series, Disturbing the Peace and How to Pick Up Girls. And then I went to Single Pranks. So I'm like, the serious thing is not cool anymore. Mm-hmm. Enough. Bartend, that's where it ends.
And so how long were you doing that before the zombie prank video really popped?
I started in August 2011 YouTube channel. I did videos for 6 months till this. No, I did videos. I did a couple of videos and then I stopped maybe in September until January. I'm like, let me try this again because I wasn't growing. I had like 300 subscribers. Like, oh, this is never going to work for me. Mm. So I tried it again and I started growing. And then in May of 2013, no, 2000, the attack happened. Yeah, 2012. Wow, time flies. Yeah. In May, I shot the video.
Right, because that blew up in June. Yes, yeah. And then July was the one that
arrested. Got and you that's arrested. When I was like, YouTube is going to be my job.
And that's when it, I mean, at that point, you get out of jail and you're like, video.
I was like, that's it. It's 120,000 subscribers. It means 100,000 people going to watch me per upload. I got to do it.
Right. I mean, so you start feeling some pressure at that point. You're like, okay.
Not pressure. It became an addiction.
Right. Because you're like, people are watching.
Yeah.
And if I do this, more people are going to watch. I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah. People say, I love it. Like great comments. So I'm like, why should I stop? I don't have
and
any
obviously,
hate.
To do prank videos, you've got to get other people involved. You got to have people run a camera. How many?
Just one camera guy, always.
Okay, so just one person.
Yeah.
Always I started the same recently, guy?
Always, it was always just. Well, it was a story before the zombie prank. I had this camera guy that we started a YouTube channel with, but I don't want to get into that. They got out of hand control. He told me he quit before the zombie. Long story short, he quit before the zombie prank. I said, cool, blah, blah, blah. The zombie prank blew up. Oh, where's my money? Yeah. You said you quit. So blah, blah, blah. I'm going to sue you, blah, blah, blah. Boom, you're not my friend anymore. Done. New camera guy. I never had a problem with him. And then just one camera guy. And then I moved to LA. I'm getting hired in a little production. You know, getting high in the videos and, you know, trying to get triple the views. And
right. Yeah, so it's a little bit bigger of an operation than it was when you were in Florida.
Yeah.
You got
I'm just trying
few
to keep,
involved.
Yeah, millions and millions of views per video now, not a million. Now I'm aiming for 10 million each upload.
Right.
Yeah.
And, okay, so that kind of brings us to the getting girls' phone numbers and mm-hmm. kissing girls, like making out with girls that are total strangers and all that type of thing. I mean, I'm fascinated with kind of what goes into being able to get into that mode, you know, having talked about like your pregame ritual and things like that. I don't want to overreach by trying to make a connection, but being like kind of dabbling in the whole porn industry and having the, I would imagine, I've never done it. I would imagine it takes a certain amount of confidence to be totally bare, to be naked and having sex with somebody or being at a, you know, doing that and then maybe going to pranks from there doesn't even require as much confidence. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Question.
Yeah.
That's my question.
That's
which is easier to do, porn or prank videos?
Oh, probably pranks because nobody, not five guys or like four guys have to watch you naked and you're supposed to concentrate on is my gonna go up or what?
Right.
Yeah, I had to experience that, but yeah. But you
so
know,
all of a sudden, pranks, you know, everyone's thinking, wow, I can't believe he did that. And you're thinking, hey, this is easy. Right?
Yeah, this is easy, exactly.
I mean, like approaching girls who are total strangers, and then like a few seconds later, you're making out with them
the
or
camera.
Getting their phone number?
For the camera, yeah, for the camera. Everyone thinks I get a lot of girls in real life. I really don't care. I mean, I care, obviously. I like girls, but I don't go out like crazy for the camera because I know the viewers love it. The viewers think, oh my God, this guy can talk to any girl. But it's all a show. It's all for the camera, you
right,
know?
But if it's that successful on your videos.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I was like, I need to build more confidence in my real life without a
camera.
So
you're saying that when a camera's not rolling, you don't, that's not your approach?
I do talk, but not like I talk on camera. No
you're
way.
You're not just like,
no, because I have an excuse.
Put your number in my phone? You've never tried?
No,
you've
I
never
did
done
try
that in
that.
Real life?
I did. It worked a couple times, but yeah. I did.
Listen, that one in particular, the put your number in my phone, which was that Roman Atwood that you partnered with?
No,
on that?
Andrew Hales from Law.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Now, you did that on the campus of BYU.
Yes, now, and it's a secret. Nobody knows about it. Well, everybody knows it's BYU, but there's a secret to it. I'm going to tell you in a second. Go ahead.
Okay, well, let me theorize.
Yes.
We talked about this. I think that you were so successful on that campus because of the nature of a Mormon girl. just the typical Mormon girl.
You revealed my secret.
Super, super nice, super, super trusting. Yeah. And so you kind of go up and you're, they're like, this guy, there's no way this guy is a creep.
Exactly.
You know, he's like my brother.
And I didn't even know that until did the video. I did the video that I realized that this wouldn't work anywhere. We didn't plan this. Yeah, we didn't plan it. Like, me and Andrew Hales weren't like, okay, this is only going to work at BYU. No, we just did it because I visited him for a collaboration. So we did this and then realized it's not going to work in California. It's not going to work in Florida. And then I tested. It doesn't work. Like, it worked at BYU. It was
four out of five girls.
Oh, yeah, I tried it. Yeah, it didn't work.
But it
work.
Doesn't even make something worth uploading? It doesn't even make a video worth uploading?
Well, no, I don't do part twos. So I wasn't doing it for the video. I'm like in real life.
Oh, okay. You're just saying.
Just in real life.
When you've tried this technique,
yes.
Just anecdotally in your own real life, it hasn't worked.
Yeah. Miami, they just make out with you. That was my next big hit.
Well, it's interesting. Because at BYU, they're not going to just make out with you.
I actually got two reactions at UVU. It's the campus over. Okay. UVU. Yeah, I kissed two girls in a row without denial. I was like, and that's how I came up with how to get girls to kiss you with the three questions. It worked. The first two girls I did to, it worked. I'm like, this is awesome. This is 30 million views. So I'm like, Andrew Hales, this. He's like, nah, it's not going to get a lot of views. I'm like, are you kidding me? He didn't believe me. So, I did the video. It's 32 million views.
Right. You were doing, let me get this straight. You were doing the put your phone number in my phone prank. And as part of that, you ended up kissing a couple of girls?
No. It was after. It was a new idea. I was like, because I uploaded it while I was in Utah. So it went big. I'm like, people like getting numbers. So why don't we do a step more? Why don't we kiss girls? Imagine that. I break the ice with girls on the spot. And I just did it in Miami on my own.
But you did it. Okay. But you did it in Utah a couple of times.
Yeah, two times.
And it worked.
It worked, yes.
And then he didn't want to do it with you?
No, not necessarily. He didn't want to do it. Actually, yeah, kind of, because he has a different audience. He has like Mormon people, but it wasn't the reason. He said he wouldn't mind doing two or three clips. I just went to Miami, and he didn't really care that I keep that as an idea. And I went to do it for my million subscriber celebration. I thought it was going to be an epic video, and it gets like 2 million views every month still, and uploaded a year ago.
Now there are a number of prank videos out there now of guys kissing girls. Like I saw the Sam Pepper thing.
Yes.
I saw actually Stuart Edge did it in Utah.
Yeah, he's been doing it a lot. Yeah.
But he added a magic trick.
Yeah, he does magic tricks. He does like some creative different stuff, but he does pop kisses. He doesn't make out. He just does a little
peck. Well, Sam didn't do that, but
Sam
he really made out with the girls on Venice Beach.
Yeah, so
but you did it first. You were the originator.
Yes.
Okay.
You type in kiss girls on YouTube, first video is me.
How does that work, though? Because you obviously know all these guys. You work with them.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of a prank video maker network. Is it sort of like, hey, dude, I got this idea. I'm going to kind of do the kiss girls thing. Is that cool? Is there like a phone call that takes place?
No, because they do different ideas. Like, you know, I did three questions picking up girls. Like, hey, do you have a boyfriend? No, do you think I'm attractive? Yeah, what's your excuse not to kiss me? Sam Pepper's video was different. He was just interviewing girls. He's like, I want to see how many girls I can make out with today. And he would tell that to a girl. And she'd be like, okay, let me make out with you.
Right.
So it's a different idea. So I can't be like, oh, it's mine, you know.
Right.
He can go kiss girls if he comes up with a different idea.
He was certainly emulating you on that one. I think you guys are friends. You've collaborated.
Well, I met him after, yeah. I met him at VidCon last year.
Did you talk about that video?
No, I didn't. I never seen him before. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was a crazy fan. I didn't give him my number. And then he emailed me and with the link.
He was
and
like,
stuff.
Put your number in my phone.
Yeah, pretty much.
And this didn't work that way.
Yeah,
buddy.
I was like, I never seen him on YouTube. I was like, I don't know who he is. I thought he was just a crazy fan.
So are you trying to, because there are those, I don't know, five or so channels that are really successful prank channels, is it like, okay, well, now you want to be the king of the YouTube pranks, or you wish those guys success? How does that work?
I wish everyone success, but I just passed Prank versus Prank, so I'm the king. I'm number one prankster and YouTuber right now. No cockiness input, but
so a little both and right there.
Yeah, well, so yeah, for a number one as of pranks for now, it's gonna stay that way for now until if I start doing script. I don't like, you know, I'm over the improv. I'm not really over improv stuff. I like scripting stuff. You know, like I like people telling me what to do, like. You know, I want to start doing scripted stuff. Like,
have you done
that? Not, no,
you
want
to be an actor?
Yeah, pretty much. But I want to do like have a director tell me what to do. Not saying scripting prank videos. Like, I want to do like films and like, you know, tell people telling me what to do. Like, I want to be like, you did this wrong because I'm the director of my own videos. So I don't know if I did it good or not.
Have you done any of that on your channel? Are you moving?
No, I'm not going to put that on my channel. No, I'm going to lose all the audience. Yeah, no way. I'm just going to stick with pranks. But if I get something outside of pranks for TV, like this, we're working on a prank movie. It's not really going to be scripted. I don't know. We're just writing it now. So we'll see. Well, obviously, if you're writing it, it's scripted.
So it's like, kind of like a Jackass bad grandpa model type
But more
movie?
Crazier. Their pranks are like funny but soft. Well, Jackass, they hurt themselves. Not really prank. No, there was some pranks, right? Yeah. But grandpa, yeah, it was hilarious. It was soft pranks. But we're going to do like you're going to leave the movie theater and be like, is he in jail for how many years? That's what kind of pranks. Oh. That's how we're going to leave the audience.
Well, more of a shock prank.
Yeah, pretty much. Like with open mouths. Watching the screen.
Right. And I think that's an interesting distinction. We were talking about this. We're good friends with Ed Bassmaster, who
He's awesome.
One of the early
I met him, yeah.
One of the early YouTube pranksters. And of course, he takes a different approach though, because his approach is very much he's gonna try to play some comedic character.
Oh yeah, he has hilarious.
And he's gonna kind of push it pretty far with you look at that, you know, until you kind of get a funny reaction from somebody.
Yeah.
You take a different tack, which is like, I'm gonna do something, like you said, where you're gonna question like, was this guy in jail? And like, what happened? Did that
how come
did
he
this
get
guy
killed?
Get stabbed after the camera went off?
Yeah, exactly.
So has that become the standard now? Like
when I started it, that's what was my point deal. I was like, I'm gonna stand out, I'm gonna push to the edge every prank. I'm not going to be a soft prank where they like get mad. Oh, you're on camera. Like when people get mad, I push it to the limit. That's what makes me stand out, because there's a lot of, you know, a lot of drama in my videos.
And so logistically, how does that work? Once you make somebody that angry, how do you get them to sign a release form? Or how does that work?
I do verbal releases.
Okay, so you're like, hey, I'm doing a prank video.
Is that cool if you use it? Yeah, but when I was on probation, they made me do releases, signing releases.
So. And every once in a while, you blur somebody's face out. So
because they say no to the permission.
Okay, so they blur say
the
no.
Face. Yeah, I blur the face if I get a cool reaction.
Now, I do know, speaking of Ed Bassmaster, going back a few years, we just, you know, because we're friends, we were just asking him some questions, and he said, I was like, what's, you know, have you ever had anybody get really mad? And he had some people, you know, ask him to take videos down, even though they had given him permission once they saw it.
Yes.
So what's your experience with that?
I had one video taken down because I didn't even ask a girl for permission. She went off of me. She beat me with a tennis racket, and I thought it was hilarious, so I uploaded it. And then her dad found out, and she's like, she's getting bullied in school because of you, because, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't believe it. I thought it was just some crazy hater wanting me to just take down the video. And then the video disappeared. So obviously that means that YouTube verified the person. So then I believed it.
It was just something that happened behind the scenes. They went through YouTube.
Yeah, they said they're going to sue me. And I wasn't scared.
What happened? How did the prank go down?
I was just being kind of trying to be kind of, that was the How to Pick Up Girls series, and my How to Pick Up Girls series is me like kind of talking crap to girls, but then make them laugh and give me the number at the end instead of being nice. And this one was, I was zoomed in on a boat, and I'm like, wow, this is a nice cruise ship, but not as beautiful as your ass. And I switched the camera to her, and I don't zoom in on her ass. I just kind of like move to the camera towards her, and she's like, excuse me, what'd you say? And I'm like, you heard me. I was like, put that camera down. I was like, I'm not putting that camera down. She's like, put that camera down. I was like, I'm not. And I wasn't going to, like, if she was nice, ask me nicely, I would put the camera down. But she came off so bad, like, already. She's like, put that camera down. I was like, no. She's like, you want two? I'm going to hit you in the balls. I'm like, and she's like, in 3 seconds, I hit you in the balls. I'm like, one. Two.
She gave you a countdown.
Yeah,
no.
And I didn't. No, I gave
myself
a countdown.
No, he gave her the countdown.
Because I was like, you're not going to hit me. I was like, one, two, three. And then she didn't hit me. She's like, you better put that camera down. I was like, all right, fine, I will. I start walking away. She's like, you better put that camera down. And I'm just holding it for, you know, for the audio kind of up. And I'm not pointing at her at all. And she just followed me. And then some lady with a husband screamed. The lady was screaming, yeah, break that break that. And the husband was like, it's freedom of speech. It's freedom. He's allowed to do this. And then I think it was a husband. I'm sorry. Maybe it was some random woman and another guy. And then she came up to the guy and she's like, what'd you say? And she's like, I'm about to knock you out. And the guy's like, well, if you knock me out, I'll knock you out right after. And then I was like, I said something vulgar again to piss her off. And at that point, I was like, I don't give a shit. I don't feel bad for her. She's a bitch. So I'm like, I said something. I love your attitude. I want to fuck you. Which is like bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, I didn't have any subscribers at that point. So
very
I didn't
cordial.
Know. Yeah, like now I would never do that. Yeah. But before I was like, fuck this, you know, it's a YouTube video. Let me laugh at this. So she goes, dad, across the beach. I was like, you ain't got no dad. And then I was like, no, go call your dad like a little girl. And then that's when she started beating me with the racket, and we came on the street, the car started honking, and she just walked back on the sidewalk, no walk with her friend. Oh, she was with a friend, and her friend was so calm.
She had a tennis racket?
The little ones, you know, that you play on the beach, not
like a badminton thing or something.
The
rubber ball, the wooden
ones. Yeah, the wooden ones. Yeah. Like ping pong ones.
She was trying to paddle you.
Yeah, good explanation. Yeah, she paddled me on my elbow, I think. She didn't hit my head. She tried to. I ducked, and it would have hurt, but yeah. And her friend was just standing there. Her friend was so nice. She didn't do anything. She was just standing waiting for her when she's going to be done. So she went psycho on me. Yeah.
Was that your worst beating?
Nah, she just barely hit
What's
me.
What's your worst beating?
I didn't have any beating except that the black guy was talking about Russian hitman. Yeah. He didn't really beat me. He just scared me because he looked like he would kill me because he was so much bigger than me and screaming and like spit coming out of his mouth. I'm like, oh, I'm going to die today. This is my day.
You've never been punched in the face.
No.
As a result of a prank.
No.
Well, it seems like that might need to be a goal though.
More views, you're right.
I mean,
nobody just wants to punch me. Like one time I did a prank with Jack Vale in my video and he actually got punched instead of me. So I'm like, I just don't get punched. People don't want to punch me. I don't know what it is. I guess it's my beautiful blue eyes. People feel bad.
What do you say to we dug up the blogs online where people are trying to analyze and point out that you're fake and, okay, you faked this. I've seen this person in multiple videos.
I love it. Well, the person in multiple videos that happened once, and I was filming in Deerfield Beach, Florida, and I got a one reaction from a guy. I uploaded a video, and months later, I did a video, End of the World, and I filmed a reaction again from the same guy. I didn't know. He didn't know. I'm like, you're on camera. He's like, wait, I'm on camera again? Wait, oh, aren't you the same guy? And I have behind the scenes and I actually uploaded my second channel to explain it. And people are like, oh, what are you doing? You're just showing that you care about the haters, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, what the fuck am I doing? I don't need to prove anybody anything. So I just took it down on private and I just let the haters hate. And people still, 5 million people watch per upload.
Because
so.
People want to pick it apart.
People just, I guess, the bigger you get, the more haters you get. No, but I love it. Now I was like, "Oh, this is great. It means I'm doing something good."
No, okay. So you're saying, okay, the haters are going to hate, and I'm not going to try to go on and like publicly defend myself. Do you think at the same time that part of the purity of a prank video is making sure that it's completely authentic? I mean, is that something that you say? Yeah, I'm always going to make sure that these people, this is a legitimate prank. These people, I haven't talked to them ahead of time. Is that part of your philosophy then?
What do you mean, part of my philosophy?
To say, okay, I'm going to do a prank video. This is going to be a legitimate prank. Haters going to hate, but also at the same time.
Well, it hurts. I'm not going to say hurts. It. Well, yeah, sometimes it's like I'm doing a real video, you're calling it fake. Like some videos that aren't spend days on doing it, I don't care. But some days, like I put hard work into the video and people call it fake. What am I going to do? But the dislikes and likes ratio is always great. I can barely see the whatever, it's not white or red. It's always green completely all the way. So that's why I don't care.
Right.
People might say in the comments fake, still it's still likes, you know what I mean? So that's why I don't get it.
Right.
If I had like half a dislikes, half likes, I'm like, oh, this looks as hell.
Right. And so I guess what I'm saying is you're not gonna cater to the haters. You're not gonna spend time, you're not gonna waste energy on them, but you're telling us I'm not faking it. These people are legitimate, regardless of what people say.
Yeah.
This is a legitimate.
Exactly.
These people are not fake.
Yeah.
There's always an explanation. This guy, I'm in the same town. This guy shows up in my video because I film in the same town.
Yeah, what happened once, and then people started saying, and then after that, people started saying all of the same people in my videos, and then when they compare the links, it's like completely different people. They're just being trolls, what you call them, internet keyboard warriors. And then what happened. Yeah, and that's about it.
Do you think
there's something I was going to say, but I forgot. Let me see if I can pop up.
Well, are there other guys, some of these other guys out there who are making prank videos, you don't have to mention any names, that you think are faking it?
No. I just watch the stuff. That's it. I don't actually, to be honest, I don't actually watch. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to, whatever, I don't care if it comes off bad. But I just click on it just to see what they did so I don't do the same idea, and I click out of it. I don't watch.
So when you come up with an idea, you search and make sure it hasn't been done.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I go through my pranksters, all the pranksters on YouTube. I type their name, check them, and then I see the title of the video. I was like, good, I wasn't going to do something like that anyway.
It's just interesting, because you do collaborate. I mean, yeah, you mentioned five people that you've worked with.
Yeah, I did collaborate it before. Yeah, I just watched Roman Atwood. That's the only person I watch. I'm not going to lie to you. I just go and I skip through other people's videos. I don't know how rude it sounds, but I just don't watch prank videos. I just do research always on the internet.
Well, and a lot of times you think Roman Atwood in some of your descriptions.
We work a lot with Roman Atwood. That's who we're going to be doing the movie with. So yeah, Roman and Dennis. Okay.
So that's when you guys collaborate on something, and there's a mutual, maybe he has an idea, you have an idea, like, hey, let's make this happen together.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
We started working together. I think our first collab was with him. Yeah, my first collab was with him. And then we just clicked. We became more than just partners. We became friends. And we just started doing videos together.
So going back to something at the top, in terms of when you were talking about helping the homeless guy out and having the image of being kind of a bad guy, or I think you said,
yeah,
that you had the image of public image of kind of acting douchey about certain things.
People love me, but there's like people, it's like they love me, like, oh, but they think like, you know, I'm kind of, you know, some people think I'm douchey, most of the people, but they're like, they love me, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to explain. You see awesome comments, but people know I'm like, is this guy in real life? Like, they don't understand this is acting. This is not really me in real life. You know, I'm nice. I respect people.
But you kind of own and embrace the characters. I mean, your hat says villain.
It's not even my hat, so I don't even know what that means. What does that mean, villain? My friend gave me
bad
a hat.
Guy.
My, is it really?
Really?
I swear I don't know what that word means.
Your sweatshirt says cookies. You know what that means.
Yeah, I'm a smoke weed all day, every day. But nah, I smoke weed sometimes. Yeah, it helps me go to sleep. But this is, I can tell you who this is. This is Yusuf, Fussy Tube. Yeah, my hair was is getting longer, so I can't spike it up, and I didn't get a haircut yet. I need one. So we went out to a club, and he gave me the hat. And I kept it for now. He forgot
to
get it.
So the villain hat is
not, I
didn't
even know what that means. I swear to God, villain. I was like,
okay. It's like the bad guy. It's like the Joker is the villain to Batman.
It's awesome. Maybe it suits me right. I should keep it then.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm just trying to figure out how much, okay, owning and reveling in the being the bad guy in your videos as a character and that kind of bleeds into real life versus how concerned are you
about what?
About your public perception of being, but I am a nice guy, or I am not. I mean, you know, I mean, what's
I don't do as crazy pranks anymore. Just starting to, you know, slowly doing more PG-13 stuff. I'm trying not to, like, I don't try to curse in my videos, unless it's the people's reactions, and I don't bleep it out, because that's what I stand out, my channel stands out, I don't bleep anything, it's like very rated R.
And what's the reason? Why are you taking the edge off in that way?
I started like this, and I thought it would be weird just to do it out of nowhere. I think I tried it once on the video, and people like started commenting, oh, what is this? What's happening to Vitaly? Everybody freaked out, but I knew if I kept doing it, they would have no choice and just watch it. It was like, why? Why I stand out? All the other people are bleeped. Mine is, you can actually hear the curse words. And if little kids watching, I'm sorry, they shouldn't watch them. 18 and up.
So what's a prank you got in the works? Just to acknowledge, I know that you're saying you want to branch out and work on some other things, get into acting and things like that. Yeah. You're working on the movie, but you're keeping your channel going, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my goal is.
Sounds like you want to stay on top.
I just want to stay on top, and my goal is 10 million subscribers by June. So that's why I keep doing it. But yeah,
how are you going to do that? Oh, you got some big pranks.
Well, I mean, I grow 1 million subscribers every month, so we got what, 5 months left till June 6th, so I'm expecting at least around 8.5.
You're just doing math at this point.
Yeah. My math used to be my favorite subject.
Give us a scoop on a prank you got in the works.
It's for me to know, for you to find out.
Come on, tell us, man.
You really want me to tell you?
Yeah. I mean, right. It may be 2 weeks before this comes out anyway. So you got to
I should tell him, I guess. Yeah, whatever. Nobody's going to film as good as I did. So, but John came up with this idea, actually. We had this girl go flirt with guys. And then the guys were really interested. Then she's like, let me see your hand. Your hand looks kind of nice and soft. And they take the hand. And then she puts it on her pants. And on the pants, she has a fake dildo to the side. And they think it's a guy. So they flip out and like threaten her to knock her out and stuff like that. So another vulgar video. But
have you shot it already?
Yeah, we shot it. We shot it. I was supposed to edit it and upload it. But I didn't do that yet.
Do you edit?
I edit all my videos, absolutely. I don't trust anybody with my videos. I will never let anybody edit, no matter how big I get. I'm going to squeeze in time.
Oh, now, okay, all right.
Why? Oh, you're going to get that? And then Rhett just wants to be your editor.
You've got these aspirations, though.
If it's a TV show, obviously, if it's a movie, I'm not going to edit it. But my YouTube video, I'm going to edit it.
Okay, so, and what's a prank? Let's go beyond that. What's a prank that you haven't shot yet?
I'm not going to tell you.
The type of thing, I'm not going to steal it.
No, I don't want people to steal it. Who's ever listening? I got a lot of great ideas. Probably going to run out soon, but that's why I got John to help me, my manager. Yeah, he's been pitching me some good ideas.
So how often do you film something? And you're like, we can't. This just didn't turn out.
Never happens. Every time I have an idea, I'm confident that this is going to go on the main channel.
So you've never scrapped an idea?
This is a very good question. I think maybe once. If I did, it would be only once. And I'm not even lying. Like every time I go, I uploaded everything on my main channel. Like I started doing pranks on my second channel, softer pranks. And they were in my extra footage. They were just me filming those in an hour or two because I just get simple reactions. But the main channel, I'm only going for the greatest reactions. You know what I mean? 10 out of 10, every reaction to keep the people entertained.
Well, I think that this is a keeper.
You mean this interaction?
Yeah.
This has been a prank the whole time?
Have you guys been recording this? Or we didn't start yet?
Yeah, that would be quite a prank to not record until right now.
Or if we did, but then tried to prank you and saying that we didn't, that would be actually a very lame prank. We weren't recording.
Yeah, I would just go home.
Isn't that hilarious? Yeah. Okay, there you have it. Our conversation with Vitaly. We went to some places that I did not anticipate going.
No, that was quite a biscuit.
Yeah, it was.
There were some different unexpected ingredients in that biscuit.
You know, an interesting guy from a different world than ours, you know, with a very different brand from ours. So I think there's certainly a fascination factor there.
Yeah, I find it interesting that he's obviously seen how pushing things very far, he basically owns it. He understands that's what his brand is to push people to a point where they are shocked and offended and angry on camera, and that's something that people like to see. It leads to millions of views. He's basically hitting that number one prankster spot on YouTube right now and seems poised to maintain that spot on YouTube, and he knows that it's going to take more shocking and more offending. He's embraced that. And it's interesting because it's already... You know, it's already resulted in a 45-day jail sentence.
Right, so where does it go from here?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Are we going to have Vitaly back on in 3 years, and it's going to be like he's going to be in a jumpsuit? You know?
Or we're going to be visiting him, and he's going to have on the jumpsuit.
When that's your brand, and that's how you set yourself up, and you're going to keep pushing the limits, I'm just authentically interested in where that's going to go.
Yeah. If you're breaking limits, what's the next limit, and how many limits are there? You can let us know what you think on Twitter. You know our handles. Also, let Vitaly know what you think of his ear biscuit. That's Vitaly ZDTV, VitalyZDTV, to let him know what you think. Wow. Yeah. So here we are at the end. Having learned some things, how do you feel? I feel biscuited.
Well,
you've just been. That's what I'm trying to come up with something like. You've just been biscuited.
You just been biscuited?
You like that? Yeah, that's what, you like a keep, DeFranco thing.
You should keep trying. I mean, the word biscuited kind of doesn't strike me in the right way.
Okay. Well, you've just been biscuited. I have nothing better. We do it every week, and we appreciate you listening and sharing the love. Hashtag Air Biscuits on Twitter and everywhere else that you socialize yourself in a media form.
We'll be back next week. You please try to do the same.